Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
Just as long as I'm here in your arms, I could be in no better place.
I've got to respect the ball.
You're simply the best.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Woo! Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Two, three, four.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Sin Bin.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin with the Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon for the final hour. Just before we go any further, Maroon's poll. I've had my poll up today and the poll was, should we bring back the 3 p.m. grand final? Because I can remember watching the 3 p.m. grand final, but when I was a kid, it was on a Saturday. 1974, I watched Dogs Canterbury, 75, Roosters Dragons, 76, Parramatta Manly. Saturday Arvo, but Sunday Arvo, 3 o'clock Hoops, that's got to be the time.
It's gone Burko, this poll, Anthony, and unanimous response. Mm. People want afternoon football back. They want an afternoon grand final back on the agenda.
Yes.
And, you know, you think back to some of the classic matches in the 90s when you still had those 3 p.m. kickoff times. Gordon, did you play in a 3 p.m. kickoff?
The last one.
98? Yeah.
The last one ever played, 98. Yeah. Broncos Bulldogs at the SFS. It's just better quality football, dry games. The ball doesn't get dewy. I understand all the television. I do understand that, but I understand that I never missed a day grand final. I don't know about kids now whether they're falling asleep, but no matter what grand final in the day, as a family, everybody always got around a television or went over somewhere for a barbecue. So when they talk about ratings, I know that there's, you know, I think the ratings can lie every now and then because I think it's the same amount of people watching.
Okay, well, NRL Facebook page, if you want to agree or disagree about the 3 p.m. grand final, but looks like the boys here are all in agreement, and 85% of the rugby league community so far agree. A sad moment to start the show, though, Hoops. Today we found out about the passing of the great Arthur Summons, and Arthur was, of course, a West's Magpie, a Rugby League Hall of Famer, and an absolute gentleman.
Gentleman of the game, absolute champion player, and of course that famous trophy, the Proven Summons Trophy as it's now known, that immortalised image from the 1963 Grand Final between the champion St George team of that era and the Western Suburbs Magpies. And Gordon, you would have been lucky enough to meet Arthur on a number of occasions. He was just a true gentleman.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, believe it or not, there was a... I think in about 94, 95, we played a game at the SCG, St. George First Western Suburbs. And they got a photo with myself and Cherry Mesher trying to replicate the trophy because Cherry was a hooker or whatever. But, you know, to go there and have that iconic image. And I heard Kenty talk about it at the beginning of the show that wasn't the photo the next day. I think they were going through and I think it made Monday's paper. But for that to be the trophy... and then to meet the guys, and Norm Proven, when you meet Norm, he's just, one thing is his presence, how kind, what a gentleman he is, how polite he is. I think he captained the Dragons and maybe all 10 of those grand finals, so his resume is unbelievable. But he's got the biggest, most like shaking a bunch of bananas when you shake Norm Proven's hand. You see his little cheeky mate, Arthur, that just is always sort of poking him in the ribs. He just reminds me so much of Alfie Langer. And he's a great gentleman, and you know, to grow up loving rugby league, and to meet him and to have a beer with him and just have a chat and see how respectful and loving and how much they respect the game. But I don't think you can have, you know, two greater men, I think, that, you know, that sort of represent our game than those two guys. Yeah. And it's sad, and it's really sad. What is he, 84.
Tributes are flowing today. And look, I think no question the West Tigers will certainly want to acknowledge it when we return to the football field. I think they'll probably do a minute's silence before that game in recognition and remembrance of Arthur and what a magnificent contribution he's made to the game over many years.
Can I give him an idea?
Yeah.
Why don't they wear the jersey they wore in a 1963 grand final?
That's a great genius masterstroke, Gordon.
Go there and run out there in a West jersey.
Yep.
With the jerseys that they wore way back then.
Yeah, good idea, mate. They he on ending his Sydney career, he played five seasons for the Wagga Magpies, which are a strong club in themselves in the Riverina area. And Hoops, we touched on this before, how strong rugby league was in the bush. And I can recall being a young fella, every other player that finished his Sydney career might have went and had a year as a captain coach. And often it was in that, I think it's Group 9 off the top of my head, some wonderful rugby league players, and in its time, a wonderful comp.
Not just rugby league players, Anthony, but also elite sportsmen in, from an Australian point of view. So you think of Turvey Mortimer, you think of Peter Stirling, you think of Mark Taylor. You can also put Michael Slater in there as well. You know, Paul Kelly, the AFL player, who was a champion with the Sydney Swans for many years. And you often hear people say over the years, you know, there must have been something in the water in the Riverina, but it is a really strong sporting foothold that has a wonderful tradition of producing champion athletes.
Well, most of those kids in that area would have played multiple sports.
Correct.
So they're highly skilled. Yeah. So what I found is all those kids that played every different sport, they didn't get pigeonholed. And because their dad went to a private school, they play rugby union or, you know, you got to play rugby league or whatever. You got to make your kids play every sport because they're going to find something and they're going to be better skilled for it. Yeah, I mean, you only got to look at, you know, like you touch on Israel Folau. I'm sure that his skill levels now, with what he's learned at all the coach, would be much higher than somebody else that's put his head down and bum up and won.
All right, good on you, boys. Arthur Summons, God rest his soul. He's died. He's aged 84 at the moment. A rugby league legend. And, yeah, so our thoughts and prayers with his family and friends today. Earlier on the show, we spoke to the coach of the Queensland Origin side, Kevvy Walters. A lot of people want to hear a little bit of that again. So if you missed it, here he is talking about Origin 2020 style.
State of Origin, you've got confirmed dates, the 4th, the 11th and the 18th of October. You must be excited about that.
Yeah, well, I haven't received anything official yet, Hoops, but I'm guessing that they are going to be the dates. It's very exciting. I think an Origin series through November is going to smash all sorts of records. There's no international football obviously being allowed to play through those months, which is the traditional period when that's played. So Origin for mine, consecutive weeks. Look, it's really exciting. I think, and particularly from my point of view, from Queensland's point of view, we've got some really good, young, exciting players coming into our system and into our ranks. And this allows them another season of NRL before they get to Origin, which for me is a huge advantage. You know, guys like Carrigan and Flegler and Molitano from the Sharks, all these players, gives them another 20 to 25 games in the NRL, which is invaluable experience, you know, coming into Origin.
Hey, Kevvy, because it's obviously played right at the end of the season and some players mightn't play finals footy. So is there a chance that you will start a camp earlier where they've got to come a couple of days a week to, you know, keep
trim train and on terrific? Squad.
On squad.
Certainly. We'll set up some little pods in the different cities where we need to be. As players drop out, they can, you know, join that pod and continue their training. We'll give them a week or so off, Gordy. They've got to have a bit of a rest and relaxation post-season and then, you know, back into Origin. You know, that's going to be the big, I think, where we can get a big advantage as well. From last year's series and series gone by, we didn't have that opportunity to get players together in little groups. That hasn't happened from a Queensland point of view because our players are spread across all clubs. This is a great opportunity now, with the Origin being in November, for us to set up those little mini pods and get players in and get them to know each other a little bit more. Not so much on the field, but away from the field. And that's where you can build some really strong relationships.
Kevvy, what about this whole concept where we're going to see the entire series played over the course of 3 weeks? From a coaching point of view, does that change your preparation? What are some of the differences you're going to have to try and attack there?
Yeah, well, certainly from a coaching point of view, I see it as a huge advantage, Hoops. You know, normally after a State of Origin game, you don't really get time for a review the next morning, or even that they're off back to their clubs and their head gets back into club land, which is, and rightly so, they need to switch from in and out of the camps. But this time round, we're going to get their full attention for that 3 weeks, which I think, from my point of view, is another huge advantage from a coaching perspective, where you get to spend more time consecutively with these players. And you're coaching, a lot of it is about building up relationships, and often those relationships get severed and then they've got to restart again when they come back in. So for mine, I'm sure that Brad feels the same way. It's going to be, you know, a little bit easier from that regard, with players continually spending time together. I see one of the challenges there is, you know, making sure we get our training right and our training days right, as well as our recovery, because as we all know, Origin can be very brutal, and the recovery part of the week is going to be very important as well.
Kevy, what does this do to the famous Origin bonding night?
That's a good question, Kenny. I'm sure that's sort of been phased out. It's not as dramatic as it used to be in years gone by, and certainly in my experience, the bonding nights have become a little less frantic as such. But again, having a couple of beers and sitting around and having a chat about things, it's the best way to get to know a person. So I still see, a regard for that, but just not the big nights that, Gordy used to go four
Particularly,
or five nights.
It'll happen, mate. It'll happen. Yeah, otherwise, it's not Origin.
But
it's
I tell you what's interesting, though. I've got no doubt it'll happen when you first get into camp and you'll have roughly 10 days to get ready for your first game. But then you go into a week and then another week.
Yeah,
and there won't really be the time before games two and game three, maybe one night.
No, there wouldn't be, Candy. No, I mean, not
after recovery.
When he's on a 7-day turnaround, they need every little advantage they can. So we won't be doing that, but we'll be doing, as I say, before we get a lot of these guys into camp, we can get in these little pods and we can do all sorts of things, not just train. There's, lots of different scenarios. So
You can send Alfie around to each pod and he can give him a quick indoctrination.
Well, Alfie would blow the pods up, I'd reckon. But no, he's good, very good. Alf gets, he'll be a real asset for us through this period as well, because he's a good one at bringing players together really quickly, which is what we're going to need.
He's a one of a kind with his birthdays, Kev.
Oh, yeah. How many birthdays does he have in a year? Yeah.
One a month, isn't it?
Triple figures.
Good to catch up, Kevy.
Yeah, good on you, gents.
Yeah, he's a champion, isn't he? Kevy Walters joining us on the Sunday Sin Bin with Gordon Tallis, James Hooper and Maroon. Now, we're going to discuss these rule changes going into the remainder of the COVID-19 season. So if you're not across these, we are going back to one referee with six tackles started again if there are too many infringements or too long in the ruck area. What do you think about that? I think we'll talk about that next one, 3-3-5-3. I'll ask the boys their opinion on it, but specifically, is this the right time to be making these changes? But what do you think? 133353 is Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Yes, getting ready for the comeback week, May 28. It all begins on the Triple M Network when we get back to Rugby League. And right now we've got Gordon Tallis, Australia's little hero, James Hooper and Maroon. That's just talking about some of the things
Waterloo
that we haven't
white ant.
Touched on. I'm not from Waterloo.
Australia's little dribbler.
I'm not Australia's
that was a good
little
one.
Dribbler. You're Australia's little hero, aren't you, mate, eh? Punching away for Australians.
That's it, mate. Mm.
Anyway, let's talk about some other things that are going on in the footy. Josh Reynolds to return to the Bulldogs. What do you think, Gordy? You think that'd be a good thing for the Bulldogs?
Oh, I think some players suit. I think since he's left them, I think when he was at the Bulldogs, I remember, he was warming up on the sideline one time and he brought the crowd into it and he brought his teammates. I think the energy that he plays with, he just hasn't found his niche, has he, at the Tigers. And I'd like to play for him. But I just think that, I don't know, I'd like to see him at the Warriors or the Dogs. I'd like to see him go back to a side that really needs him and wants him. And I think that you'll see the best come back out in Josh Reynolds.
It's been a bad buy for the Tigers, no question. And I think the thing with the Bulldogs, he's such a favourite son, being a local junior and having had that real affiliation with the club. We all remember those scenes at Belmore when he got chaired off and some of those celebrations. The local fans really love to embrace Josh. But I think the issue is he's had a lot of injuries over the course of the last, since he's left the Bulldogs. Yeah. And at the moment, Canterbury are going to have Kieran Foran in the halves. I think a lot of people believe that pairing Kieran with Kieran being in complete control and Josh just playing the way that he likes to, what he sees in front of him, would actually be quite a good balance. But I don't think the Bulldogs are going to go down that road, Gordon, because of the amount of money that Josh is on with the Tigers.
Yeah.
I think that's a jam that they're in.
I realise that. And probably now, if Josh realises that he's a number 14 where he can come on, he can spark you, 25-minute mark when you're getting pretty tired, with the rule changes now, if your side's, made defence, I know that he'll race out, he'll put pressure on the kickers, he'll get in marker and do that two or three, four tackles in a row. There's better judges than me say that he's not that clever with the football, he doesn't always take the right option, but his energy would be infectious to some clubs. And then you need those guys that come out and they lift you and they pat you on the back, when everybody's getting tired. And I think that Josh has a has a spot somewhere in the game, because I used to love watching him play.
Well, he's had a, you know, people say he hasn't been a good buy for the West Tigers, but poor old Josh has had, as you touched on, Hoops, a horrendous run with injury on the back of it. Then this drama with this girl and the fake pregnancies, you know, I mean, he's had a terrible run. He's such a great human being, Josh Reynolds. I'd love to see him find a new home at a new club and just get a couple of years of injury free and just show everyone what he can do again.
He got stitched up horrendously in relation to the off-field issue with the young lady who claimed she was pregnant and has since been proven to be a fraud. So, you know, Josh had his reputation battered from pillar to post, and thankfully he's been able to walk away from that with his head held high and with some dignity. Look, we'd all love to see him back in the game. I think from his personal point of view, I think he just wants to be playing in the NRL and at the West Tigers at the moment. Now that they've signed young Harry Grant, who'll be their starting hooker. Billy Walders has been brought to the club, and I know Michael Maguire's a huge fan of him. He'll be the West Tigers' number 14 and fill that utility role. So I just don't see Josh being in the 17. So the only way that he is going to be able to get a start is either through injuries or if he shifts clubs and tries to find another home. He has been actively pursuing a return to Belmore for a number of weeks now. Haven't been able to get it off the ground yet, but you know, Josh is driving this pretty hard behind the scenes.
Okay, well, we wish him all the best with that. Now, let's talk about these rule changes. We haven't really touched on them for a while here. So for anybody who doesn't know what's going on, when we return to the rugby league, we'll have one referee in the actual game, one bloke in the middle. That's the first thing. The other thing is this trialing this, or this new rule where if there's an infringement in the ruck, the referee can rule six tackles again. Firstly, before we even get to those rules, Hoops, this season has started. We're going to changing the rules in round three. This is where I would have an issue.
Yeah, I can now see what the Sydney Roosters chairman, Nick Politis, has been mounting such a strong campaign about the fact that you know, the competition has been dramatically altered. And as a result of that, that's why he's pushed so hard for everybody's points to be reset in some shape or some form, whether it's all going back to zero or he came up with a variety of different mathematical scenarios to try and complement it. I think the other big issue as well, Gordy, in relation to the rule changes is this bunker overhaul. So there's a story in the Sun Herald down here today by Adrian Prashenko, and it details how Damien Cook and Wade Graham and Daly Cherry Evans had a meeting with Peter Volandis, and they're pushing and encouraging, and the NRL is going to implement it, the bunker referrals being lessened a hell of a lot. So referees not sending decisions up to the bunker every single try that's scored, and increasing the number of captain's challenges. So you would have two captain's challenges per game, but you don't send stuff up to the bunker as often from a whistleblower's perspective.
Yep, I love it. I get sick of hearing about the referees. They're human. They're going to make mistakes. I love what Kevvy Walters said, that, you know, the six to go call in the grand final, it was a big call and we all harp on it. The Raiders still had an opportunity. Players have always made more mistakes than the referees. I know we don't like it, but that's what we zero in on now, is how many mistakes they make. Anything that's going to make the game better and more enjoyable. But just when I was playing, and I don't want to keep on being that dinosaur, but we had different referees that refereed a different style. So when we're under Bill, there'd be three penalties a game. And if you backchatted, or if he thought you were pushing the envelope, he'd just send you off. There was, mate, one penalty. I got sent off in a state of origin, and not too many people remember this, because we'd given away too many penalties. Alf was offside and all that. So Bill Harrigan sent me, he goes, I told you that your side's given away too many penalties, and it was right on halftime. And then Bill sent me to the sin bin twice in a state of origin. Well, sorry, one was off. So you had Bill refereeing that one. Stephen Clark was this way. Tim Mander was that way. So everybody had their own way that they would referee a game, but you had to fit into their style. And then when you went to the toss, they'd say, boys, we're cracking down on this, this, and this.
Mm.
And we had to deal with it. So I'd go back in the dressing room and say, hey, boys, this is what they're looking for today. We got to be good in this area. And that was it. But now the coaches want it 3 months out, and this is what's happening, so they know how to combat it. Why don't we just give the games their own little merit? They don't have to all look the same. You got to go there. You got to win at a different ground. So when you go to Leichhardt, you know that you're not going to get the penalty count. You know that they're going to be offside a little bit, but you got to overcome that. That's what used to happen. Mate, when you went to Brookvale, you never won the penalty count. Jeff Toovey was always up the referee, but you had to overcome that. It was simple as that, mate. When you played in Brisbane, they loved a free-flowing game. They wanted it to flow. They didn't want the ball to go out. Alpha take a quick tap. But we're not allowed to play our own style. And I'm all for it, just as long as we keep out of it and let the players sort it out themselves and the referee. And it's not sort, you know, and we don't influence it too much on the weekends with talking about it for 3 hours or you, James Hooper, writing about it and 360 whinging about it. I just think that we let the game sort itself out for a little while.
Of course, that's guaranteed to happen, Gordon. Well, that's all just part of the show.
I'm trying to butter you
that's
up.
That's all just part of how it rolls. But look, I think one thing that it's important to stipulate is every team, Gordy, is going to have to play by the same set of rules. So everybody's going to have to try and adjust. Nobody's going to have an edge. Nobody's going to have an advantage.
Yeah, that's what everybody's under the same rules. I don't understand take these points off. The sides that won those games, okay? On with the Titans. We don't have any points. Too bad. We didn't win those games of footy that were played under that style. Moving forward, we're adults. We're training. They've known 3 weeks out or 2 weeks out. This is what we're preparing for. These are the new rules. Deal with it. Let's move on. And as a game, we've got to grow up and move on with it.
Okay. Boys, before we leave this topic, just on the area hoops around having a quicker ruck, quicker play the ball, is there a couple of teams that might specifically be more favoured to that, if you know where I'm coming from?
Well, the theory early on was that a side like Souths, who've got a jump and run hooker like Damien Cook, whose first instinct and probably one of the strongest elements of his game is being able to spot weaknesses and take off at a million miles an hour and trouble defences out of dummy half. So there was a school of thought that perhaps the Bunnies would be one of the teams that benefit. There was another school of thought that the Melbourne Storm, being as conditioned as they are in terms of being masters of the arts of the wrestle, that perhaps they would be able to benefit by just getting the exact balance right in terms of the time they take to peel off in that play the ball and in that ruck area.
Mm. Okay, Gordy.
Yeah, but like Damien Cook, and I know that he might have an advantage if the play the ball is quick.
Yes.
If it's a slow play the ball.
That's right.
They're behind the eight ball. So if I'm playing South, there's no big Sam Burgess. They don't have the biggest, most dominant pack at the moment. So you control by a good hit, a good stick, and you win that battle in your first bit of contact. Well, I think, you know, you can take Cook out of the game because he's so there. And if your markers are set and you're ready to go, Cook only runs if there's one marker. So there's more pressure on his forwards to win that first bit of collision. So within that little battle of everybody thinking, oh, yeah, Cook's going to run the game, he's got to make sure that those little forwards of his can dominate.
All right, boys, let me just bring in Freddie Fittler, who was on the Channel 9 Sunday Footy Show earlier today, talking about the one referee. This is what Freddie thinks.
I think it's fantastic. I've got no negatives towards it all. I feel when I look at players as a coach, all you want them to be is not distracted. All our referees are at the moment is distracted. They've got so many people in their ears. They've got people coming at them. They've got players coming at them. I believe the only time someone outside the field will be able to talk to them will be during a gap in play. So, once again, they won't be distracted. They'll get a feel of the game. The back end of the game, they're going to be fatigued, but everyone's going to be fatigued. And they're trying to put in rules where they've got options if big plays come up or big decisions come up. And Peter and that, we were talking about that before, but I think this is a great rule. I also love the fact is they don't have to communicate to the players when they're about to get sin-binned or they've got one more chance. And, you know, that to me was just absolutely ridiculous. And all you're doing is playing into the hands of coaches who coach towards the vocabulary that referees use. Now it's just, you know what, if you don't get off the tackle and you're not doing a good job at it, the referee gets a feel of the game, and if you're doing it too much, you're sin-binned. We're not going to tell you, we're going to sin-bin you. You're sin-binned. Seriously.
Yeah, there he is, Channel 9's Brad Fittler talking about the one referee thing.
Made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
The first thing he touches on there, Hoops, the first thing he touches on is the referee. He goes out there now. He's got voices in his head. He's got the bunker going. He's got, you know, he can now just concentrate on looking at the ruck, refereeing the game.
Well, it's going to simplify it. That's the bigger picture point of view. And then you'll have two full-time referees as sideline officials, also working in conjunction with the referee. I'm sure they'll help police the 10 on the edges of the field. And then the central referee, the main referee who's out in the middle, can try and primarily focus on that ruck area, on ruck infringements. And if so, believe it, if they feel it's warranted, then ruling with the six again rule.
The other thing is, just to wrap this up, see, Paul makes the point earlier on, Paul Kent, like, it's going to be like, see, we could clean up the ruck area with the penalties if the referees were, you know, consistent or harsh in rewarding the penalties, right? It's going to be the same with this six again thing. If it's not policed properly, if they're not diligent about it, we're going to be in the same basket.
Yeah, but this is where Peter Volandis is backing Graham Annesley and all of the referees in. He's saying, okay, I'm giving the ball is back in your court. Go back to one referee, simplify the way that we're looking at things. If you need to be hard, be hard. Keep the flow of the game going with this six again rule as opposed to penalties. Hopefully we get a better spectacle.
Yeah. And Anthony, I just touched on it before. Back when I played, I don't want to keep on harping on it. Every single weekend was different the way you got refereed, slightly. So you got to live with that. So don't go out there and go, oh, come on, 2 weeks ago you did that. Too bad. Mm. Stop whinging about what happened 2 weeks ago. Go with the flow of the game. Work it out, right? And the referee's got that discretion that, hey, boys, you guys are working with me. This is going to be a good open game. But if not, you're to the bin, you're to the bin. So not every week's going to be the same, you players, okay? Get out of your comfort zone a little bit and stop being robots. And the referee is going to referee to what he sees at that moment.
Yeah, I think a big part of Kenty's argument earlier as well, Gordy, was that for too long the coaches have been allowed to have influence at head office and over the head of football.
Absolutely.
And over the referee's boss, Bernard Sutton, by bombarding their inbox with clips from once they cut up all the vision every single week routinely. And as a result, you know, then the whistleblowers feel as though they're constantly being challenged about whatever the latest interpretation is. So
hopefully Peter can stay strong with them, say, boys, I'm going to back you to the hill. You just keep on making decisions and let's do our best. And when they whinge, it's going to fall on deaf ears. So, mate, just let the coaches whinge because it doesn't help you.
That's
mate, it doesn't help them.
That's it. But everything we've heard so far from Peter Volandis, and then also, you know, Wayne Pearce has been big on introducing this six again rule as well. The other thing I like as well, Anthony, is this element Damien Cook and a couple of the other players, Wade Graham and DCE, are pushing where less interference in terms of video replays and the bunker.
Well,
so
you'll
get two captain's challenges. When we initially began trialling this earlier this year, you only got one per game. If you get it right, you get to maintain it, right? You get to retain it and so you can challenge again. If you get it wrong, it's gone.
This is nonsense.
Now
going to have two captain's challenges.
They're saying you can have two, but they're saying less video. So let's say somebody scores a try. They want the referee just to make a decision. And if the opposition team disagrees, well, up they go. They can throw the captain's challenge.
So now you
up.
Want to have two captain's challenges.
I'm just
so
telling you what's happening,
one,
you palooka. Are your ears painted on?
1 minute ago. One minute
know,
ago, you're all
is.
About the ref. 1 minute ago, you're talking about giving the Volandis say to the referees, you're in charge, you've got more responsibility. And now you're listening to Damien Cook saying he wants to send it up for two captain's challenges. Why have we got to change the rules every week in this bloody game?
You're a palooka. You're a palooka. You're not listening.
You're
less
not listening.
Video.
Stop arguing for the sake of arguing. Stop taking Kenty's role, okay? He's
listen,
gone home.
No, that's right.
Stop arguing for
that's
the sake
you.
Of it.
Mate, if I want to argue for the sake of arguing, I'll stay home on a Sunday. Now, boys.
You're funny.
Just before we go to a break, now, there has been some talk, Hoops, about the future of Peter Volandis. He's been a godsend. I don't think anyone wouldn't suggest he's been a godsend the last couple of months in this game. We are at the forefront of Australian sport. We are about to get back on the field. What are the long-term plans for the game with Peter Volandis?
Well, he's been quoted extensively in the newspapers today, confirming that he is committed to rugby league for the long haul and for the long term. So, yeah, he did do an interview earlier this week where I believe he was asked, you know, is there some point when you might walk away. And I believe the way that Peter explained it was, you know, he's got a debt to the game of rugby league because rugby league helped him when he came out to Australia as a Greek migrant from overseas and initially was trying to integrate into the country, lived in Wollongong. His old man worked at the local steelworks and rugby league helped him integrate into Australian society. So he feels as though he owes the game a debt, but he has since pointed out he won't be walking away anytime soon. And that's music to everybody's ears.
Do you have an inkling on how long he thinks it'll take to fix it?
Well, given where we are at the moment and all the hard yakka and heavy lifting that they've had to do to get the game back up and running by May 28, Gordy, surely he's got to stick around for at least a couple of years, at the least. Like you think of how much
recovery. Do you think it's a three-year job minimum?
Well, I think that they'll do this new broadcast deal. So they'll get a broadcast deal done for this season. Their Fox teller clearly very close to announcing that they are going to extend their existing broadcast deal. Channel 9 will maintain theirs.
So within six months, the television deal's done.
Yes.
And then after that, what do you reckon's on the agenda? Expansion?
I reckon maybe expansion prior to COVID-19, but I think now the goalposts have probably been shifted quite dramatically. I think for the time being, you just got to get the game back up and running, get the club strong. He wants to streamline head office, which he's clearly already started because we've seen Todd Greenberg gone. We've seen Tony Crawford, the chief financial officer, also depart league headquarters. There's going to be more changes there. So I think that's how he's seeing things.
Okay. On that though, forget about expansion. At the start of COVID-19, Hoops, we chatted about whether or not all the teams would survive. It looks like they're all going to be okay.
For the time being, yes, because they get this new broadcast deal done and then they can begin to pump some money back into the clubs. And I can't see any club being chopped as a result of the way things are sitting right here and right now.
All right. Well, just to be clear, we'll be doing some chopping and changing for COVID-19.
Are you taking another haircut? I thought you already took one prior to the COVID-19 because you foresaw it coming.
Yeah, I did. I've already done the right thing, mate. But, I mean,
you
I'm
love
just
a
saying.
Trim, though, don't you?
I'm just saying, do we need four
don't
blokes
try and throw
on this
stones.
Panel? Let's take a break. We'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sunday Sin Bin for our mates at Macca's. Ream Hot Water. Install a ream for the hottest of hot water you've ever seen. Maroon's poll is now closed with 84% of people agreeing with me, Gordy, that they would like a Sunday 3 p.m. grand final. 84%. It's a landslide.
It is a landslide, and that's, it's common sense, isn't it? Yeah. Like anybody that loves rugby league wants a day grand final, except for the people that make the big decisions that get the money and the broadcasters.
Well,
they don't actually listen to the people that turn. that have the remote controls in their hand. But anyway, so be it.
Well, the broadcasters have got to have a say in it. They invest a lot of money.
Of course.
Yeah.
But the people who turn their TVs on and pay their bills should have a bit of a vote in it.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. The fans should also have a voice. Crucially important. But when you tip in as much as what the broadcasters do, Gordy, they play hardball at the negotiating table and they stipulate that they want an evening grand final. They don't want it in the afternoon. So, look, it's going to be a big test.
All right. 133353. The phones have gone absolutely bunter today. And here's another one come through from Rugby League Heartland, the beautiful city of Penrith. Matthew, what did you want to say?
How you going, guys? I just wanted to throw my two cents into the former chat that you was having about the points going back to zero.
Yep.
I was born in Newcastle, so I've been a Knights supporter my whole life, which is lovely living in Penrith, obviously. But obviously, I'm sitting pretty on the four competition points so far. But even taking that outside of things, I want your thoughts on what happens if you had an injury in round two, i.e. Jaden Brayley out for the season.
Yeah, look, it's a very fair question. It's one of the strongest reasons why the NRL decided that they weren't going to restart the competition points. Nick Politis from the Sydney Roosters is the power broker who pushed this and believed really strongly that the competition should be, you know, everybody starts back from zero again. Because Peter Volandis didn't see that as being fair. He didn't see that given how hard everybody had worked over the course of the summer, you know, and we were all aware going in eyes wide open that, you know, the coronavirus, yes, it swept the world very, very swiftly, but there was a view, You know, we did see it coming from overseas for a couple of weeks. So clubs were told, you know, that the competition could be shut down at any moment. So I think that's why they decided to make the call the way they did.
Good on you, Matthew. Glad you called in, mate. Have a great afternoon and go the Knights.
Thanks, guys. You too. Cheers.
There he is, mate. Just before you go to the break, I just wanted to do Hoops and Gordy call out what I call COVID-19 abusers.
Oh, yeah.
And these are people, Gordy, who, like, one of our producers here, Chicka White, who in 4 weeks he's had 2 Saturdays off, but he does the whole thing, I've got the sniffles, I better work from home. You know, he's abusing the loophole. COVID-19 abusing, I call that.
Where all the real workers want to get out and get into it better. They want they want to put on the King G's and get out there.
If you want to bung one on, now's the time, isn't it, really?
Some people have been taking advantage of it, Anthony, to a degree. Mm. Do you know anybody else?
I know, like Chicka White, but we've got our other guy here. Tom Birmingham's joined us back as our producer. Now, Tom Birmingham, radio people, he's the guy that went over to Macquarie Sports Radio, sent them in the minuses, sent them broke. So what do? We take him back.
No, Tommy's good. He's a legend.
Yeah, no, he's lovely. He's lovely. All right, boys, we'll take a break.
Geez, you pick on people a lot.
Yeah, well, what do you reckon? Everyone picks on me. You pick on me. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll wrap it up
Not
here.
Not a fair enough excuse.
On the Sunday Sin Bin.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Well, that's just about it for us for a Sunday. We've had a wonderful time on the show today. We've had lots and lots of guests and lots of great things to talk about.
Gee, you've been outstanding today, Anthony.
Yeah. Well, I was going to just give you two your marks.
Yes, how do we go?
Well, I've given you a 6 out of 10.
Six.
Wow.
That's strong. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, that's strong.
Mm. I've given you a 6.5, Gordon. You only interrupted.
Nah, you've underarmed Gordon there. Well, he's been better than that.
He only interrupted. I give myself 9.
Oh, please.
Mate, absolutely.
You know?
Mate, absolutely. When one's the best, isn't it? Eh?
Anyway, some quick emails and tweets before we go at @MMNRL. Mitch McDiffin, listening on the Central Coast, says,
oh, Mitchy.
Why is Paul Kent always seems so angry? I met him one night at the Orient Hotel at the Rocks watching a band. And this is the interesting part. He says, I met him one night at the Orient Hotel watching a band, and he was jovial for a while. So I don't know if he was jovial and then he got changed his mood. I don't know.
That's a stitch.
But you know,
Anthony,
people. No. Kenty's a little marshmallow.
Right. How do you mean?
Well, he's a real soft little guy. It's just, I don't know, mate. When he's on, he's got this little persona. He's like a little porcupine. But once you pull all those little spikes out of him, he's a little soft, cuddly thing. You see, to get the spikes out of him, which is harder to do sometimes.
He was
I'm not asking you, moron.
In the Fair Dinkum department, he was very good earlier today, Kenty. Yeah, if you're going to give scores,
he was strong.
He was up around the 9.5 mark.
I didn't like the way he spoke about you guys up north, like the politicians. I don't like the way he bags Queenslanders. Mate, we're all right, mate. We're looking after our great state. You look after yours.
Is there something that you could suggest, Gordon, that Paul could do just to take some time to relax?
Maybe go over and do a couple of workouts with you to get on that stepper, because you've sort of been becoming more feminine as the years go on. So maybe get on the stepper, do a bit more routine.
Yeah.
You know, because I think he goes to Spud's gym and it's always boxing, it's always hard. It's that footy hardcore stuff. He just needs to go and do Oz-style aerobics at your place.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, I actually have another tweet here that suggests that you've been doing a little bit of handyman work around your place.
Yes. Had a couple of builders over all week and just renovating the house. Actually, just put a new ceiling on the outside and put a timber ceiling up. So it's long, actually. God, they work hard. Mm. I was really tired. Right. I went to bed about 7 o'clock last night.
Talk us through it. What'd you have to do, Gordy?
Well, we put up all the stuff. So we sort of finished it. And then the chippies come in on Friday, Saturday. Chris and Maddie and just flew through it and just put it all up in 2 days. And I know it's about 100 square or lineal meters of timber.
That's a big area.
So they flew flew through it, but they had a really good incentive because one of my mates that owns a pub dropped over a keg.
A keg?
So beer on tap once they finished.
Oh, you are the king of Queensland.
And about 1:30, I just started pouring them. Jeez, that was good. Nothing better than on your own balcony having beer on tap, let me tell you.
Hang on. So were you giving these guys beer on tap while they were working?
No,
right.
They couldn't have one until they finished.
Yeah.
But I kept on pouring it, and I said, boys, when you get to this mark, I was a bit hard. I said, boys, when you get to this mark, I'll give you a beer. So tools down when you get here.
Yeah.
Because I wanted it done in 2 days. I didn't want to stretch it out to three, Anthony, because that's what some tradies try to do.
By the time they got to the keg, there was only a schooner left for both of them. Wasn't there?
I'll get one. You know what? Mate, when we come up and do the game, I'll get a keg out there the same.
All right.
Some nice food, mate. I'll get some prawns for you.
Oh, beautiful.
Mate, I'll get just a sausage on bread for myself, Kenny and Hoops, because we're more down to earth, blue collar, and we'll sit there and have a couple of frothies together.
Yeah, that's pretty blue collar, having a tapping a keg while people build your balcony.
Can't get more blue collar than that, can it?
That's classic, Gordon.
What about, I've had a couple of little suggestions too for you, Hoops.
Yes.
The other night on Fox League, I always watch Fox League because I love you guys.
Yeah, I know you do, yeah.
You were wearing a jacket on there. Someone said, why don't you hang on to that for retro round, that old Australian.
It's a Kangaroos training tracksuit jacket that I was lucky enough they gave me when I was covering a game down in Canberra a couple of years ago. So it is a collector's item, Anthony. It is a bit vintage, a little bit retro. But I did cop a little bit of stick for wearing it.
Hey, Hoops, you know when you do that, why don't you just walk down a level and sit in the studio with them instead of doing it upstairs?
Well, because they want you to do it over FaceTime, you know. So say, we'll just cross to you for like 15 or 20 minutes or whatever. And see, my house is only small and I've got two kids, 8 and 6, that are just constantly bouncing off the walls and tipping the place upside down. So I find it easier to be in the office and just do it in there.
Well, good to catch up with you anyway, mate. We'll catch you on Fox League this week.
Thanks, Anthony.
Gordy, tell us all the best with the renovations, mate.
Cheers, mate. All done.
We will see you again next week. Of course, we'll be back on deck May 28 for all your rugby league action as Triple M rocks the NRL.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.